Welcome to the Beetlebugs Podcast. Yay! As people follow clues and take off both their shoes and walk, come back to 69. Every road dreams out the life. The sergeant on the pink dark side. The piper travels through the sky. Out here, and I am here.
Hello! Welcome to another episode of the Beetlebugs Podcast. I'm Aisha.
And I'm Jesse.
We hope everyone is safe and well.
We certainly do. And we hope that people are finding new ways to keep themselves busy and active. There's lots of things that people are doing online that you can get involved with. Isn't there, Aisha?
Yeah, you can be doing PE with Joe Wicks. They showed Phantom of the Opera online for the first time ever.
That's right. Your mum really enjoyed that. But we watched and really enjoyed The Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, it was a live stream sing-along on YouTube. It was so much fun. I love Yellow Submarine, the movie and the album. In the town where I was born, lived a man who sailed the sea.
Let's just put the brakes on that one. It was a great album. And we will talk about the Yellow Submarine soon, but not today.
Okay, not today. Shall we?
Yes, let's. In the last episode, our intrepid musical quartet had just returned triumphant from a groundbreaking visit to the United States. With Beatlemania moving up a gear, the band embarked on their next step to global stardom.
The Beatles were still riding high from the success of their previous album and their crazy trip to America. And it was all non-stop work for the Beatles on their return. Only hours after returning from America, they were back in a TV studio in London for more recordings. And between March and April of 1964, the Beatles opened a new chapter in their history as they took part in their first ever movie, A Hard Day's Night. It was a musical comedy where they played themselves. I mean, why would they need to play anyone else?
Why indeed? And the movie was followed by their third studio album, also called A Hard Day's Night. Released on the 10th of July 1964, it would be the Beatles' third album in only 18 months.
The album was released on the same day as the cinema opening of the movie. And here's a fun fact for you. The title, A Hard Day's Night, came from Ringo. He would always mangle up phrases. After a really busy day of recording, Ringo said that it had been a hard day's night. Everyone laughed at Ringo. But George Martin liked the title and decided to use it for the name of the album. So, well done, Ringo. Gold star for you.
So now the Beatles are making movies. And it was a really good movie as well. In fact, I think it was in 2003 or 4, Time magazine rated the movie as one of the 100 greatest movies of all time. How about that?
Cool! Well, just a few years before that, the movie also made it into the list of the British Film Institute as one of the greatest British films of the 20th century. The success of the movie inspired the Monkees television show, as well as pop music videos that came decades later.
It was a very low-budget movie, and much like the early Beatles albums, there's a rawness to the film that gives it its own charm.
Yeah, there's that scene at the very beginning of the film when George, Ringo and John are being chased by screaming fans. George falls over. He actually really falls over. And Ringo falls on top of him. You can see John laughing and running on. Most movies would have cut that scene out, but they left it and it works. It was funny.
So the movie does really well, and is a commercial and a critical success. But what about the album?
The album was another huge hit for the Fab Four. On side one of the album, there were all the songs featured in the movie. A Hard Day's Night, I Should Have Known Better, If I Fell, I'm Just Happy to Dance with You, and I Love Her, Tell Me Why, Can't Buy Me Love. And on side two, there were six more songs. Anytime At All, I'll Cry Instead, Things We Said Today, When I Get Home, You Can't Do That, I'll Be Back. A Hard Day's Night was also a critical success as well. Music critics and magazines like Q, NME, and Rolling Stone have all put the album in their list of all-time greats.
Now, this album is also a very significant album in the young history of the Beatles.
It is. It's the first Beatles album that has no cover songs on it. It's all original material. And more importantly, it's the first album where all of the songs were written by Lennon and McCartney.
That's right. So now we're beginning to really see these two genius songwriters start to come into their own. It's like the first two albums were slowly building up to this moment, a moment where the Beatles really show off their artistic talents.
And it's not just Paul and John who are showing off their talents. Even though George Harrison didn't write any songs on this album, he was still very important in developing the distinctive sound of A Hard Day's Night. Do you remember the song, and especially the opening chord?
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel alright. You know I work all day to get
now
your
that
money.
Is George playing on an electric Rickenbacker guitar. A normal guitar has only six strings, but this one was a specially made 12-string electric guitar. So it gave the album a very distinct, ringing guitar sound.
12 strings? That's so cool! And the coolness didn't stop there. The Beatles then went on another crazy world tour, staging shows in Denmark, the Netherlands, Hong Kong, Australia, New Zealand. They returned to the UK on July 2nd, and on July the 6th, they attended the world premiere of A Hard Day's Night at the London Pavilion. Phew! I'm exhausted just talking about it.
Okay, so I think you should have a breather then, because come September, the Beatles are going back on tour to the US, playing 30 concerts in 23 cities, from San Francisco to New York, in just 1 month. As well as another hugely successful tour, the trip was also marked by two very significant events which had a profound impact on the Beatles, Bob Dylan, and society as a whole in the United States. Bob Dylan was a rising star in the US folk music scene. His music and lyrics, which spoke about real issues facing ordinary people, struck a nerve with the anti-war and civil rights movements in the early 1960s. In August of 1964, Bob Dylan and the Beatles met at a New York hotel. Within months of the meeting, Bob Dylan, for the first time, used electric guitars with backing singers. With his dress sense now owing more to the mods in Carnaby Street than his folksy fans in the US. And on the flip side, the Beatles' sound would also start to change, develop and mature. Dylan had made a particular impression on John Lennon.
Significant event of the US tour was when the Beatles came face to face with racism in America. Up until the 1960s, the United States didn't quite live up to its claim to be the land of the free. For African Americans, life was hard and full of injustice. Segregation was one of those injustices. In certain parts of the US, African Americans were not allowed to go to white schools. They were not allowed to be in cafes or restaurants, and were only allowed to ride the bus if they stay at the back.
That's just horrific. I just can't even begin to imagine why anyone would treat another human being like that. So how did the Beatles deal with that?
Well, on the 11th of September 1964, the Beatles were due to play a concert at the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, Florida. They were told that this is a segregated venue, so African Americans were not allowed to mix with the white Americans. The Beatles' reaction was very strong and very clear. They were not going to perform in any venue where people were going to be treated in such a horrible way. They also cancelled their stay in the George Washington Hotel because it was a whites-only hotel. John Lennon said, "We never play to segregated audiences, and we aren't going to start now. I'd sooner lose our appearance money." The Beatles then made sure that any future concerts would only be played to mixed audience, no segregation.
Which was a huge statement to make by these four young musicians from Merseyside. They made a significant contribution to the civil rights movement by taking a principled stand against injustice. Racism, segregation, it was the polar opposite of everything the Beatles stood for.
Yes, they stood for peace, love and unity.
And that's an uplifting way to end this episode of the Beetle Bugs podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show and that you'll join us again next week for the next chapter in the lives of the Fab Four. Check out our show notes. You'll find our Facebook page and Instagram page details so you can get in touch with any comments or suggestions you might have. Even if it's to say that, look, your voice this week sounds terrible. I think you've got a sore throat.
And if you did enjoy the show, please, please, pretty please subscribe to our show. We are on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, just about anywhere you can find podcasts. See you again soon.
Bye-bye. Bye.